Oh my God, suck my dick today, James.
That's not very nice.
Coming up on the Vanderpump Rules After Show.
He was such an amazing friend.
It's sad to miss somebody who said they don't give a f- about you.
It has been internal conflict. So let's give Sheena a little bit of f-ing grace.
Thank you.
Tom's family.
I know.
I cannot abandon that man.
I understand.
And I won't.
I just want you at some point to say, like, I also have to do what's best for me.
You need to cut him out of your life. He's toxic. He's a bad person.
Well, at the same time, I totally understand where she's coming from.
I would never abandon you over some shit like this.
Graham! What?
No, I had
no idea.
I was like, this is imposter, Graham.
The Vanderpump Rules After Show starts right now.
Lisa was a big supporter for you both during this time.
She always couldn't get a hold of you, so she would ask me how I'm doing, but also through me check in on you. I wasn't there for when she sat the girls down at Villa Rosa and talked to them. I don't know exactly what she said, but whatever it was, that was a pivotal moment in regards to like the vitriol.
Yeah.
Spent time with Sandoval. I really know for a fact he's in a very dark place. I know that. Let's just stop attacking him. None of us are perfect, right?
I felt like I understood where Lisa was coming from, especially given that she lost her brother. The other was, how do I put this to not sound horrific? I didn't want Lisa to place the mental state of someone on us. It felt like she was, if this were to happen, you would blame yourselves. And then there was the other side where it was like, I don't think that that would ever happen, but I refuse to participate in someone doing something like that. So it was all of those things in one. Did that make any sense?
Yeah, and I felt like as someone who lost someone close to them to suicide many years ago, that hit home for me. Because I had spoken to this person a few days before and I didn't realize the way that they were reaching out to me, just saying how depressed they were. And my response was like, well, maybe you should look at like some of your choices.
Oh.
That's something that for many years weighed heavy on me. So when Lisa said this, I was just like, I don't ever want to feel that way again. I don't ever want to feel like my words could be responsible for someone being pushed over the edge.
It's a heavy burden to put on people. And I think that I don't take that stuff lightly. I mean, he apparently took it lightly when he was saying it was me. He went on Howie Mandel's podcast and was talking about how I was like, as if this is like fodder for a podcast. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, you know, kind of alarming that it is an important thing depending on who we're talking about, I guess. That is something that if someone has concerns, they should seek professional help for someone.
Yeah.
Like, that is the route that should be taken. Like, if he's not gonna seek professional help for himself, then if Lisa is concerned, instead of putting it on Sheena and Lala, she should find professional help for him, because I think that ultimately Sheena and Lala are not equipped and should not be carrying that.
I took a lot of weight with what she said, but at the same time, I didn't really know what to do with that information, because I'm not just gonna welcome him back and be like, we're best friends again. That's not going to happen. Too much has happened. But I felt like in that moment, I needed to stop projecting so much anger and hatred, because it also wasn't healthy for me. And I was losing sleep at night. I was having nightmares for weeks in a row. I had lost weight. Like, I just wasn't the best, healthiest version of myself, because this was weighing heavy on me. I didn't want that to continue. So I felt like, okay, maybe we do need to soften up in a way, but that doesn't mean welcome him back into the group, because we're not there.
Yeah, it was a heavy conversation.
Sheena, you talked to Katie and Ariana about what Lisa told you.
I mean, this is just why there's certain people I open up to and there's certain people I don't want to, because of responses like that. I'm trying to say that this conversation I just had is weighing heavy on me. And instead of them seeing my feelings or how this is bringing up something else about someone else I lost to suicide years ago, it was just like, well, that's not fair. She did that to you.
He was such an amazing friend.
It wasn't genuine.
As soon as he's getting invited to parties again, he'll be like, great, that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
It's all like, to me, feels like manipulation.
I'm literally in tears right now, and I just didn't really feel like anyone, them especially, asked, is there something else going on? Is there, like, why is this affecting you so much?
Well, it's sad to miss somebody who said they don't give a fuck about you. It's sad for her. Take me out of it. He was a vocal supporter of what she claims was the most traumatic thing that she's been through, this restraining order stuff, and also said they were never really friends, and he didn't give a fuck about her. So I think it's sad that she would then be seeking out validation or approval or anything from him. Please feel however you feel. Please work through whatever you need to work through. Do what you want to do. If even after he said and did those things to you, all of that, fine and good. But don't be asking for my approval.
Almost, yeah, she was almost looking for like approval or like you're like
the go ahead. Or like the support is
like, you're not gonna get it.
Obviously, I'm a person who struggles with boundaries, so that was really hard for me. And it being Sandoval, not just some random guy Ariana was dating. This was Sandoval. This was my first friend in this group. This was my only friend in this group when this show started. This was the only person who consistently had my back.
And didn't you know him before you knew Ariana?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean sh**.
No, but it's just
a lot of shit.
Really?
Sandoval.
You worked at Villa Blanca. Ariana worked at Villa Blanca.
Yeah, but Sandoval and I worked there for like a year or two longer than her.
In the grand scheme of things, I'm just saying, it doesn't matter.
It does matter, actually. Because it wasn't like she was best friends with Ariana and then she was like, and this is my boyfriend and he came with the f***ing package.
Right.
It's that they had a standalone friendship. It doesn't matter. She has history with Sandoval beyond the f***ing relationship that he had with Ariana. That's what it means.
Okay.
That's what it means.
Okay.
And that's what I think people aren't understanding, where they're just like, well, if you f*** over my best friend, then you're dead to me. I'm like, but this was my best friend f***ing over my best friend. So that's where
that So when was someone says the switch, and I know that you could say, yeah, but it's different because Brock wasn't best friends with Ariana. You see what I'm saying?
Sandoval. But it is different. If Brock did this to me, Ariana and Brock have never had a friendship.
Brock's f***ing bye-bye.
If I was dating Ariana's best guy friend of 15 years and he did this to me, and then she was struggling.
Hanging out with her. Yeah, like
hanging out with him.
Because they were friends. They had a history.
When was this
made up world, they had a history. They worked at Villa Blanca a year before they met you. And then what? Would you allow them to talk or be how you and Sandoval are?
If you think, James, that every single one of us has not put ourselves in Ariana's situation, you're out of your goddamn mind.
I'm just asking.
The difference here is, you don't get to roll up on people and tell them, you don't get to kick it with Tom Sandoval, but I'm gonna go home where he sleeps, I sleep down the hall. It don't work that way. Could you imagine if I said to f***ing Schwartzy, how dare you f***ing play pickleball with my ex? And I still lived in the house, I wouldn't have a f***ing leg to stand on. And everyone would have called me out on it.
It's separated, though.
Oh, my God. Suck my dick today, James.
That's not very nice.
Sheena went through something. Sheena had to say goodbye to a friend that she knew for many years and then come to the conclusion, I don't know this person at all. It has been internal conflict for
her. Right, I see that now.
Right?
And I do understand it a lot.
And no one gives her any grace.
Really?
Zero.
So let's give Sheena a little bit of f***ing grace.
Thank you.
Cool.
Tell me about being reunited with Graham.
Honestly, one of the best moments of my life.
It's crazy shit. Only on Vanderpump Rules.
Is that Graham?
Yeah.
Graham! What?
Like, what is this?
You can't make this shit up.
I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. It's like we were destined to be together. He really is, like, and has been. Like, we had a bond that was unpenetrable. I mean, like,
he is James in dog form.
Oh, 100%. It literally is me. Like, Ali says that every day. And it's...
You had no idea that I was coming.
No, I had no idea. I was not expecting that shit. What the hell? I was expecting to talk about fucking Tom today. What the fuck? oh, it's like an out-of-body experience. I mean, really. I mean, at first I was excited, scared, sad, happy. What's going on?
Is there any part of you that questioned if it was him or not at any point in time?
No. I know his face. I know the
like. It's all of us.
I know his whisker.
I was like, when they give him a bath, that white spot is coming off.
I was like, this is imposter Graham.
Even if that white spot was gone, I'd still know. Like, it's crazy.
That was one of the happiest moments of my day. And scary because I'm scared to accept it again, that he's really mine, right?
For now, Graham to end up in, you know, a dog pound or whatever.
Super twisted, yeah.
Yeah, and to, like, be possibly, like, euthanized, that's a really bad look.
I get a call from someone that says this dog has been in a foster home for 2 months.
What?
And he's bitten a couple of times. I'm dropping him off at the shelter.
Does not reflect well.
Yeah.
I had seen some very intense, like, food or toy, like, protective aggression type stuff to the point where it's like, I'm not trying to take anything away from you. I'm literally, like, putting food in the bowl and you're trying to bite me.
Different dog. Right. He's always with a family member. If Ali and I go out of town, Harry's at the house, watching the house, watching the cats.
He's got a real life home.
Harry shows as much love to Hippie as he does the cats. He keeps them both equal. He's the best brother in the world. And, like, you know.
I'm so happy for you, James.
It's just great. We got a little system happening.
Yeah.
Thanks. You too. Nothing's breaking that fam apart, I'll tell you that. And he's going to be happy for the rest of his days. And loved and taken care of. And I take him to the vet just for checkups, like, once a month, basically, just because the doctors are great. And, you know, he's just like, you know, I'm just keeping him up. Like, he's just, like, the best thing ever. He's, like, my son. That's how I look at him, like, literally. He's smart. He's, like, an A student. He's going out for the soccer team next week. Let's go.
Lala, what made you decide to have a heart-to-heart with Schwartz at the pool party?
Probably me not wanting to light him on fire. I think me just putting my guard down and not leading with anger. I, like, tried to listen to him. I tried to have a space where when he's opening up about his dad being sick, his brother struggling, instead of coming from a place of, we've all got sh**, it was coming from a place of, like, okay, I know how difficult that is. I wanted grace when I went through things like that.
Your brother's going through, like, the fight of his life. Your dad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I did not give you grace last year for what you were going through.
We had been on the rocks for a long time, and I, you know, I was okay with it. I do my thing where I'm like, whatever, I'm good. But, you know, deep down, I did miss her friendship. I know we've never been, like, best friends, BFFs.
I don't want to know you.
You're the epitome of
a bootleg housewife.
Loser.
Look at those lips.
Come up with another one.
But we've always been tight. We've always had, like, a special little connection on the side, you know? And I think it was extra meaningful having both had some very heated exchanges.
I'm sorry in which the manner I retaliated. Coming for your lips, you're one of the most beautiful people I've ever laid eyes on in my life. And I mean that platonically.
I was like the one thing that, like, I could not have cared less about. Out of all of the things you said to me, like, that was the thing that, like, I don't care about.
You're like, I know they look good.
Right. Like, I chose them to look this way. Yeah. Like, I know what they look like, and they look damn good. But, like, let's dig a little deeper. Maybe, like, apologize for, like, coming for my livelihood.
That was one of the first moments I felt, like, a really deep, meaningful, soulful connection with the group. And in particular with Lala, I also had a fall from grace, you know, by association. And it was hard for me just being an outcast, you know? But I remember just, like, spiraling in my mind and having so many people in my ears, like, you need to cut him out of your life. He's toxic. He's a bad person. You're not getting it.
You're your best Tom when you're just Tom.
Thank you.
You're not your best Tom when it's Tom.
Thank you.
What makes you feel the need to, like, stand by his side?
I'm a little bitter about that in hindsight. But at the same time, I totally understand where she's coming from. And
do you expect, no matter what somebody does, for, like, literally their best friend and business partner to completely abandon them? Like,
but that would be such a cowardly thing to do, to completely abandon your friend when he needs him the most.
And I would never abandon you over some shit like this.
When he says, I can't, or I won't abandon Sandoval, I think it's very sweet.
Tom's family.
I know.
I cannot abandon that man.
I understand.
And I won't.
But no one's asking him to abandon Sandoval. We're asking you to stick up for yourself. And we're asking you to, like, maybe reevaluate this business partnership. Like, you guys can stay homies. But, like, you're really putting your financial eggs in his basket. And, like, it's gonna go bad. You're going to have nothing if you don't wake up right now. So he's confusing the two. He thinks that the business relationship and the friendship are one and the same, and they're not.
He was going through a lot personally at that time. He didn't need another thing on his plate.
How's sobriety going today?
Are you still good, good. Still on the same train.
Do you think that had you not stopped drinking,
yeah,
that things would have, like, gone sideways for you and Allie's relationship?
Yes.
When the Tom and Raquel stuff, like, happened, a lot of emotions were flowing, right? Like, Allie and I were fighting a lot, especially when I would be getting, like, drunk, basically. She took the cats, and I came home, and I was so upset because it was, like, empty, and it wasn't the energy that was there before.
Ultimately, the alcohol just doesn't work well with me. It's just something that just never has. And I've tried many times to make it work, you know, because I wonder why, like, it just works for other people and it can't work for me, you know. It's like I've been blessed with this life where I get to travel and DJ and play all the music that I used to and make the music that I dreamed of making when I was younger. And you know what's crazy is I've learned that it was a gift to not drink after the first time I quit drinking. And then, you know, I fell back into it because I thought again that I could handle it. And it's just something that it's just like, you know, it just takes over me, honestly. So definitely better for Ali and I's relationship going forward forever. Better for my life, better as a whole, for sure. And I'm sticking with it. I mean, I see how it's done for Lala and my mom and people around me, you know.
And your mom's killing it. What is she, 6 years?
Yeah, something like that. Hmm. And yeah, and my best friend Rob, still sticking with it too. Since I quit drinking, he's kept going. And he's like gonna hit 4 years now and I would have been there, you know. I've learned a lot of lessons and through it. I feel like I'm DJing so much now, bigger scales, that's just really not even an option. You know, I just can't. Like, the amount that I'm traveling, you know, it'd be a matter of time where I just, like, don't make it to a plane and the domino effect starts, you know what I mean? Mm. Which I won't be doing.
I mean, that's great that you worse, know,
like,
that.
Yeah, I do know it. I mean, I've made those mistakes before. I've learned from those mistakes and then I did them again. I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I love Ali too much. I love what we've got. I've been gifted with hippie again, which just does not happen. Like, I wake up every day and just, like, I'm just in awe, you know? Very lucky. So just want to keep it going.
The many gifts of being a dry person.
You know, honestly, and it's like, I don't miss it. Like, people ask me, like, don't you miss it and stuff like that? It's, like, more hard, I would say, if it was, like, a friend's birthday dinner and it's, like, everyone's sitting down. Then I even might think about it, like, oh, like, not that I'm gonna drink, but, like, oh, like, it reminds me, like, oh, yeah, you can't. But even in the club, like, I'm in such work mode right now that I don't even think about it. Like, I've got my Red Bull and my Fiji water, you know? I feel so good leaving the club, like, I'm dead sober. I don't even smoke my weed during the set because how could I be smoking it, you know, DJing it.
You have, like, the mic on one and then your weed pen on the other and you're like, yeah.
I mean, my hardest challenge now is eating enough on tour because it's so hard to, like, remain, like all the calories I need. And then every show I'm burning, like, literally, like, 1,500
calories. You do look a little thin.
Shut up. Don't say that. Don't say that. But, like, no, seriously, I think I was, like, 175 and now I'm back down to, like, 163.
You're losing muscle tone, too. Yeah. Just kidding.
You.
I'm around too much.
I see videos of Stevie Aoki. I see videos of Chainsmokers. Like, I'm still moving and jumping more than that.
You put on a great show.
So, James, you hosted your first pool party. How excited were you to do this?
Hosting my own pool party is a very exciting time for me because there's lots of wins here for me. You know, I'm very proud of this moment.
I went to Home Depot, I went to Vons, and then I went to frickin' Target.
Not only did I buy all the drinks, the food for the barbecue, I bought the barbecue for this party. I had to buy f***ing, like, what, 12 towels? Probably spent at least, like, $2,000 on this party. I always knew one day if I'm ever lucky enough to, like, get a house, I'm going to, like, have a bunch of parties, you know, and, like, DJ in my garden and, like, jumping in the pool with my friends off the roof. I've always been, like a good host, the man of the hour, you know? I like being the party guy, you know? I like everyone around me having a good time. Now that I get to do it at my house, it's very cool.
James, you got fire going on.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
James, don't fan the flames.
He's f***ing angry.
Do you mow your own lawn?
No, I don't. You know, because there's lots of prickly bushes and cactus in the front lawn as well, so I'm not trying to like, not cactus, but you know, there's the palm trees, prickly, the mini palm.
Yeah.
Call it a mini palm.
Enemy palm?
mini palm.
Oh, man.
Baby palm.
You said enemy palm.
Enemy palm?
That's call that enemy palm.
Step away from that, hippie. Step away from the enemy palm.